Okay, it's 2 p.m. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Len, if you could do the roll call, please.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Quiatek?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Levi?
Here.
And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great. On the consent agenda, Kelly has asked that we pull item G from page 65, as she has a conflict. So for the other items, all but G, does anybody else have a question or one they need to pull?
Motion hearing none? To approve. Second.
By consent then, all approved. And then item G, if I could get a motion for that one. It's the line grant.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That one also passes. And we will note that Kelly abstained from that one.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple information items in there on agreements and surplus donations. And with that, Tom, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you. And a thank you to Halifax and Advent for, again, participating in the Line Grant program. You know, what this will do is allow us to expand the program by up to 60 seats, so which will, again, help our community well. You know, I got an unsolicited text last night, speaking of it, and I won't mention the person's name, but they were in the hospital and said, I have had a parade of DSC nurses come through and how great they were. And they actually didn't even have, because it came into my text without me recognizing someone. He must have called someone who knew my number and gave it to me. So I was like, oh, sorry to hear you're in the hospital, but glad we're taking care of you there. So, couldn't talk well enough about our nursing program. So again, thank you. We had a great foundation gala the other day, and you know, I think it was a good decision to keep with the date, and I think we raised about $5,800 in the auction to help with the hurricane relief that we were doing that night. So thank you for all the support you all have given for that event. Had a meeting with the president from UCF and some of our sister schools as part of that Direct Connect program that we're involved in. So we meet usually annually to talk about the program, and we're looking to do things to, you know, continue to improve upon it. And they're generally very pleased with, you know, that agreement that we have. So certainly it does attract students to us because, you know, they have that goal of going to UCF, and that program makes it for a very smooth transition to go there. congratulations to Gary Lubai for retiring. I was able to attend his retirement party, so it was good to have Gary celebrated that night. We had our Veteran Day events. We do a Veterans Day event at every campus. We spoke at the one here in Daytona, so thanks to Charles Fordham and his group there and SGA for their support and Student Life. It was a great event. I know last month we celebrated some of the spring accomplishments of our athletic teams, and fall is wrapping up, and our men's cross-country team won the Region 8 championship, and the women were Region 8 runner-ups and qualified for the national, I guess you call it a tournament for cross-country, and they participated there, and they did well. The men finished 12th in the country, and the women finished, I think, 16th in the country. And the women's soccer program, as we speak, are in Kansas. They won for the first time ever the Region 8 tournament and the Southeast tournament.
Nice.
And they're in Kansas. They came in as the number 7 seed in the 12-team bracket. So 12 teams across the country will be battling it out for the national championship. So really proud of that group. It's been a work in progress. They've knocked at the door several times, and they defended and won the Region 8 championship home and went into the district championships and beat a team from Alabama, and then met the same team they had to beat in Region 8 at their home field. So they were hosting down at Eastern Florida and beat them 4-0. So it was a great day to be a Falcon there. Yeah. We hosted the Division of Career and Adult Education Chancellor, Kevin O'Farrell. He came to look at some of our facilities. There may be some grant opportunities there. And so we showed him our welding lab, and then we took him to the ATC and showed him all the facilities there. So he wanted to check out our facilities. And we've gotten grants from his division before, and so there is opportunity here, and he just was very pleased with all the work we've done in the past. So because we've done well, we're always being looked at as a potential recipient of a grant. So we'll hope to hear something on that, more details later on that. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Rodney, up right. You around this?
Good afternoon. We have before you two for your review and approval a ground lease agreement for the New Smyrna Beach Edgewater campus. This agreement is for the construction operation of a private school, and the private school will serve grades 6 through 12. For the first 5 years, the rent will be fixed, and starting year 6, that rent will increase yearly. This is a 51-year lease, so at the end of the lease term, the property and any improvements, which would include any school buildings, will revert to the college. So we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have, but if there are none, we would request your approval that the college enter this ground lease with this with the tenant, who is the foundation.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. On to finance.
Good afternoon. Several items on my agenda. And starting with the monthly financial report through October 31st, 2024. Yeah. So as of through October, we've now collected $14.5 million, or 50% of our tuition and fee revenue from students. We've collected $19.1 million, or 29% of our state revenues, $2 million, or 28% of our other revenue sources, and $5.3 million of our 100% of our board approved transfers. In total, $40.9 million, or 38% of our budget, has now been collected. You'll see the budget's now popped up to $108 million. Before Trustee Dye quizzes me on that, $104.5 million was our original approved budget. You'll remember at the last board meeting we had a $3.5 million transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 7, which came out of our fund balance reserves, and you see the $5.3 million was upped, and so was the overall budget of now at 108. Okay, moving on to the expenditures budget versus actual, you'll see we've now expended $20.9 million, or 28% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $19.6 million, or 72% of our current expense budget. Of that amount, 12.7 is actual expenditures incurred, with the remaining $6.9 million encumbered. Remember last meeting, we were a little light on the capital outlay budget, roughly 8% only at that time. You can see it's now popped up to 26%, or $1.4 million. As we get into doing purchase orders on some of the special projects that we got from the state that went through our Fund 1. So good sign here. So of that $1.4 million, $378,000 has been expended, and then nearly $1 million encumbered. Moving down, in total through October 31st, we're now obligated at $41.9 million, 39% of the overall budget, which I see I did not increase that particular number, should be 108 as well, still at 104.5.
Search your right.
And if you take away the expenses and leave just the expenditures at the very bottom there, we've expended $34 million or 31.5% of the budget. Okay, looking at our carry forward balances, this kind of goes hand in hand with the topic I just mentioned about the $3.5 million we used out of reserves. So starting the year, it was $25.5 million roughly. Of that, we got the 5% state required reserve of roughly $6 million, or designated reserve of about $1.6 million. Unallocated reserves of $17.1 million. We had rollover encumbrances and designations of $739,305, and that leaves us through October a net projected fund balance of $17.7 million, or roughly 26.7%. And you'll see I added down the bottom there, there's the note of the $1.79 million that came forward as part of the budget for using the reserves of Fund 1, and then the 3.5 was added as approved at the last board meeting for a total of the roughly 5. Okay, moving ahead here, this is a comparison of the revenue budget, budget versus actual year over year. We've now received 38% of our revenue budget. At the same point in time last year, we were at 34%, so we're collecting a little bit more this year. And this is probably the driving force of that, slightly ahead of collections. Student tuition and fee revenue is really looking good. It's a little skewed at this point. I think I say this each year. October, depending on the timing of registration, in particular the spring semester, it can really throw the numbers off a bit. So we know that this year we opened spring registration 2 or 3 days earlier than the prior year at this time. So some of that 2 or 3 days is in that 24-25 column driving that $14.5 million number. With that said, we also know that we landed at about 8% up in the fall. So not all of it's spring revenue. we certainly have had a great fall enrollment-wise. Driving our tuition and fees, and coming out of the gate very strong in the spring semester as well. So, long story short, $14.5 million. If you did the math, it's about a 22% increase from the prior year. 8% can be contributed to the fall, and then some of that spring early registration is factoring into the rest. But it'll smooth out in the upcoming reports as it normally does. But we're in good shape from a student tuition fee standpoint. Okay, taking a look at our expenditure budget to actual year over year, we've obligated or expended 28% of our personnel budget versus 27% at the same point in time last year. Obligated 72% of our current expense budget. We were at 65% last year, so a little ahead there. And 26%, as I mentioned before, of the capital outlay budget has been obligated, and we were at 26% last year as well. Okay, shifting over to our Fund 7, Capital Project Fund. Again, this slide delineates all the major funding sources in our Fund 7, all the activity and the resulting balance through October 31st. The summary of that slide is here. We started the year at $49.3 million roughly. Revenue received to date about $9.6 million. We've obligated $32.7 million. Of that, we've actually expended $23.5 million and have encumbered the remaining $9.2 million. Facilities has been busy, as you can see. So net fund balance per the report through October, $26.2 million roughly. Of that, $8.2 million is committed to date, and the remaining roughly $18 million uncommitted and available for projects. Okay, and when I say they're busy, this slide kind of demonstrates that. These are major projects that, defined by the threshold $250,000 or above. Got 20 major projects in progress currently, with an estimated cost of $49.3 million. The list looks close to what I brought forward last time, so I won't repeat those, but we have added a couple on page two, down there at the bottom. Part of that $3.5 million transfer that you approved last meeting was for the generators, five critical generators that we need to replace on this campus and the ATC. So that's the second to last one. And then the very last one is our Hurricane Milton repairs. We open up a call center, do our repairs while we're also filing for insurance, and we'll subsequently get reimbursed and replenish those funds. So those are the two new projects added. And we do have one on the completion list, which was our Building 410 Schildecker Science Hall roof restoration. Came in on time on budget, $797,000, and it wrapped up in October. So that concludes my normal financial report through October. Yes, sir.
It's not a question, it's just a comment, excuse me, on the two audits that was done, the housing and on the foundation. I just wanted to say kudos to you, your staff, and everybody else, because you came out shining, and that's what we like to see, is that you're ahead of the game. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Lloyd. Those are coming up here, and I'll touch on those two very audits. this is the meeting where we talk about all of our audits and financial reports, the next one being the college's annual financial report. We bring it in unaudited form at this meeting because it's it takes months for the State Auditor General's office to audit this. They're just getting started with the audit, but we need to have this done by August 15th deadline each year to submit to the state. So the minute June 30th comes, it's go time for my staff, my department. Heads are down for that month and a half. It's not very long when you think about it. And the end result is this large annual financial report, all the disclosures, every number ticked and tied. I was in the trenches not long ago. I remember those days, and then sometimes I'm still pulled into those trenches, and I'm glad to help the team. So this is, we're proud of this report. We often have a clean audit, as you guys know, even on the AFR, but I'll run through a little bit of a slideshow to show you some highlights for the 23-24 fiscal year. But thanks again, Lloyd. I was gonna say the same thing. Kudos to my team for helping get the college report done here. Always on time. New GASBs come out, we implement them, we react. Got a great team, my controller Tina Myers heads that team up, and all the way down to the staff under us. So great job by all. Okay, so some of the highlights you'll see, revenue sources that increased from the 23-24 over the 22-23. Remember, this is a little bit older data now, going back to the last fiscal year. But our state, the state non-capital appropriations increased by $8.2 million year over year. And that's mainly our program funds, and which is lottery and the FCS program funds, the PF there. So I want to say roughly $7 million was those two. But there's some other categories that fall into that $8.2 million driver. Pipeline, we did better on pipeline year over year. That was part of it as well. But the heavy hitter was the two there in parentheses. State local grants and contracts awarded to the college increased by $2.3 million. Federal and state student financial aid increased by $1.6 million. And our investment income increased by $2 million from the prior year. So some revenue, operating and non-operating revenue highlights. On expenditures, I like to highlight anything where we had some cost savings. The one area that had significant was other services and expenses decreased by $1.7 million. So might be a little easier to look at when we're looking at in chart form. So as you can see, pretty consistent from an operating revenue standpoint. We had the one I pointed out, state and local grants and contracts. We had an increase there of $3.4 million versus about $1 million in the prior year. That's the third bar chart over. You see the red spike. The main driver there was the line grant we just spoke about earlier. We had about $1 million more in the 23-24 year versus the year prior for the line grant. And then there's a couple other new grants that we have, Career Pathway State Grant, that fall into that category that helped drive the increase. Okay. Moving on to our non-operating revenues, you can see that the first category, we had a bit of a spike in our non-capital appropriations. That's what I just spoke about. That number was actually $7.6 million. That was attributed to program funds, the lottery, and regular state appropriation. The second bar chart, federal and state student financial aid, of course, that is, you know, Pell and so forth, and that's tied to enrollment. So you see about a 6% increase there. Last year we were up. More students, you're going to have more financial aid. The next one is actually a decrease, the gifts and grants, $12.6 million down to about $5.6 million, roughly $7 million decrease in revenue there, and the main driver there was the HERP funding that we got. It was finally winding down in 23-24, so that's the steep drop off. It's actually the $7 million drop is attributed to just that. Less revenue from the HERP funds. Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds is HERP. And then the next one I wanted to touch on was our investment income. I mentioned it earlier, about a $2 million increase. We had better interest rates in the 23-24 year, and we also had made a conscious effort of shifting some of our cash funds from SPIA over to SBA to take advantage of the better rates in SBA versus the SPIA interest rates. So that was kind of twofold, but resulted in good investment income. Okay. Next is our operating expenses. You'll see the very first one is personnel. And the spike is really not just raw salaries and benefits. The biggest component of that increase is about $7 million increase in pension expense. So you part of that whole liability that we have to record for net pension. And so any given year, we know that swings a lot either way. We have to record a big expense at year end, and that expense was $7 million higher in the 23-24 year. And it gets topped up in there in the personnel services category. The other one I wanted to highlight was the other services and expenses. You'll see we had actually a decrease there, $6.5 million roughly versus $8.1 million the year before. And that decrease in expenditures was also tied to the HERF grant. So less grant money, less to expend, and we ran a lot of those institutional HERP expenditures through that other services and expenses category. So it naturally went down when we had less money to spend on the grant. And then final slide here is comparison of our assets, liabilities, and year-end net position. You can see assets has gone up about $14 million. Liabilities have gone up about $5 million. But maybe even more impressive than both of those is the total net position has gone up about $9 million, 8.7, 3.7%. So any time you can improve your net position holding as a whole, any entity, education otherwise, that's a good sign. We're going the right direction from a company standpoint. So that concludes the report on the AFR. If you have any questions or comments, then.
Marty, what was the driver on the liabilities going up?
That's I think it had to do with the leases, and that we that new GASPY that forced us to record leases. I think a big part of that is the liability related to those leases. Yeah. I'll double check that. Yeah, I saw that too. I don't have it at my fingertips, but my suspicion is the leases. Could also be the pension. Like I said, that you saw in the expense,
right?
Likely the liability.
Exactly.
Can you go back a slide to that?
Sure.
Liabilities.
Which one, Gary?
Yeah, the liabilities, yeah, because you were talking about the pensions, because that's in the personnel.
Personnel that had the big spike. So the net pension liability went up, and then you'll have a resulting increase in the expenditure as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing there. Probably more so than the leases, because I want to say the leases were already in play both years, and I don't think they jumped from year to year that much. So probably more so the pension. Good question. Any others? Next item we have is our information item for any payments over $50,000 for the months of September and October. This is the list for September, and here's October. All normal payments through normal course of business. I've reviewed them, staff has reviewed them, and all are in good order. Okay, next item we have is our student tuition exemption and waiver report. You'll recall I bring this report forward each year at this time. We also have to file it to the state. We have done that. It's an annual report. All fee exemptions and waivers are authorized by Florida statutes, as you can see by the authority column on the report. I wanted to give you a little perspective on the where it stacks up versus last year. In total fees and exemptions, you can see at the bottom nearly $7 million, 6.9. Last year it was $6,435, 741. So we've got an increase of about 554,000. Again, got more enrollment at the college. You're going to see more fee waivers and exemptions naturally as well. But a couple of the highlights, I guess, on dual enrollment, we had 3.5 million. Last year was about 3.4 million. So only less than $100,000 increase in dual enrollment, which is a big number on this report. The other big jump in this category on the fee exemptions was the homeless. That $240,000 is actually up $185,000 from the year before. So we had a more qualify for that particular exemption.
That's a big number, just given the I mean, on a percentage increase, that's
huge. 300%. Yeah, I wouldn't caught me a little off guard too as I was looking at the report.
And it's 102 headcount?
102, and last year was only 35 headcount for 65,000.
Is that causing strains on other departments at the?
I'm wondering, did they, is Eric here, have they changed the definition?
Yeah, they changed the definition of the statute and made it more open.
So that's what happened.
That's why we saw the increase.
Got it, thanks.
So over time, they
made it more liberal.
More liberal to qualify, so.
Okay, and then the big jump in the waiver category of towards the bottom sector of the report was the out-of-state fees honorably discharged veteran, and we may have had rules there that changed, possibly. But there was an increase of $233,000 there in that category.
Yeah, they did.
That was $456,000 this year compared to $338,000.
I think there was a statute.
$222,000.
Yeah, I think there's a statute change that opened it up for opened up the veterans' qualifications as well.
Those were the major increases, but overall, it's in good shape. They all qualify for the fee exemption or waivers. We track them, we report on them, and the report's been filed. So this one will require board action.
And so that one requires an approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, Lloyd, now we're to the two DSO audits. So first up is the Daytona State College Housing Corporation audit, which was for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024. As Lloyd mentioned, this audit went very smooth compared to the year before, I can tell you that. It was the second operational year. The first operational year is a struggle for all of us, right? We're still getting our bearings and figuring things out, as are the auditors, and we just had a lot of activity when you do that first operational year. So it made the audit is a little more of a challenge that first year, but we still did fine. But I can tell you this year, James Moore can attest to it, which is the CPA firm that does the audit. They said you guys did a bang-up job. You were ready to go, very efficient. I don't know if they even stepped maybe a day or so on site, did most of it remote and just in and out. So we received an unmodified opinion. I was real proud of the team for pulling this one together and getting it in good order. We said after that first year when they they gave us a little feedback about some of the struggles just with that initial audit. I made it a goal to the team that we would be more than ready this second time around than we were. So it showed, audit went smoother than ever, and clean, unmodified opinion, no internal control or audit findings whatsoever, and no even management letter recommendation. So it just goes to show that it was a job well done on everyone's part. So that's the information. It's in your packet, the full audit, but I can tell you it went extremely well this year. And staying on theme is the December 31st, 2023 audited financials of our DSC Foundation. This audit's actually been done for quite some time. I think they wrapped up in May. We take them to each of their respective boards first for review and approval. And that took a little longer on the foundation due to turnover and just their meetings aren't as regular as our college board meetings, but we did take it to the foundation board. It was approved. And again, this audit was done very well. Jim Zablosky in my office kind of heads this one up. He does a good job of keeping on track, and probably a little more transaction-wise than the Housing Corp, different transactions, but it's a little bigger of a job. And again, no criticisms, unmodified opinion, and a clean audit. Very proud of the team on this one. And for your information, it's a job well done by all, so I'm proud of the team.
Yes.
That concludes my items.
Great, thank you. I will say I sit in on the outbrief for both the other audits, and Gary sits in on the housing one oftentimes. But the auditors are always complimentary of the team. So Marty's not just saying it; it's true.
We have witnesses.
We have witnesses. Okay, moving on to facilities. We have quite a few facilities projects today. So if the board agrees, what I would ask them to do is just kind of go through each facility project. Let us know what they're asking for. We can ask questions and discussion on each one, but then we'll do one motion at the end just to kind of cover them all, and unless somebody wants to pull one out.
I approve.
All right.
You don't have a choice.
All right, good afternoon. So some good news. The first three items we're going to discuss are final closeouts of some projects. So thankfully, we are getting some of this done. First one is the re-roof of the Wortham Building 100 Roof Project, which is a federally funded project. We're asking for final payment approval of $44,822.47, and that will require an approval at the end. Second one is a closeout of the parking lot repairs, also a federal project. This is a final payment of $290,179.33 made to Johnson Locks Construction. Attachment 21. Is the closeout of the Deltona Building 2 project. And so from this project, we are getting back $1.438 million in credits, tax savings, and buyouts. So some good news there for Marty to put back into the bank. And I guess that means we've got money to do more work. So we'll need approval for that as well.
Yeah, I'll remind the board that the college put in local funds to secure the original budget, so especially nice that it comes in under budget when we put in our own local funds to help get it approved to in the beginning.
Item number 4, attachment 22. This is the bidding for the Fine Arts and Sciences Building, which is building 330. This one is a dual-funded project. It has federal funds in the amount of $4.8 million, and we're asking for additional funds of $3.698 million. We have three bids that we compared, and CPPI Charles Perry Partners was the winning bid at a total GMP of $6,193,200. So we'll be asking for approval on the project as well as the additional funds on that one. Attachment 23. This is the site work that we're doing here on campus. In the five-year plan, we have a site work that is being pre-prepared next to the Gene Good Art Center. So right next between that and building 200. This is basically utilities work underground and site prep. We're using our continuing services contract for this one with Perry McCall, and the amount coming in is $964,541. And then attachment 23.1. This is a change for the architect. So in 2022, so roughly 2.5 years ago, the board approved a contract for Borelli and Partners to design the multipurpose field across the street. Since that time, in the last 2.5 years, not only have costs gone up, but the scope of the project has changed somewhat, and we've added a few things. They're requesting an additional fee of $69,560. This too has to be approved by the board.
Questions or discussion on any of these? Just on that last one, do you know what the percentage was that on the increase for the?
I don't have that right in front of me. I can get that for you though.
I mean, I trust your judgment. This seems like a relatively easy project to design a field.
Yeah, there's a lot of underground work that has to be done. And okay. Then part of the change was we're going to take an existing structure that was left by the Red Cross building. So we tore down the Red Cross building.
Okay.
That was a reason for the major change. At that time when this was put together, we did not own that property. So we were building the field around the Red Cross building. Since that time, we've been able to procure, or not procure, but we've been granted that property by the state. And so now we own that piece of property as well. So we've now torn down that building, and then there's a storage building associated with that. We're going to renovate that instead of building new. So there's some cost savings on the construction side.
But this is just the A&E, right?
This is just the architect. Yeah. Because okay. There was a, you know, we walked the site. So you know, when we first designed it, it wasn't official that we owned the Red Cross building. It was kind of in the works. That happened after we engaged with them, and then we walked the property, and you know, we determined that the building needed to come down, but they had a decent structure in the back that we could save, and rather than build a storage space out there that we were going to need to do, we're just going to fix that one up. And so it changed the scope of what we asked the architect to do.
But I mean, I'm kind of with Randy though. If you remove the building, and you're not working around the building, and I understand the scope change, but I mean that's construction more than the architectural.
We had to move like so. With that, we moved the location of the parking lot and the retention ponds, and part of that also was based on feedback when we went to go rezone with the city. We had a town meeting, a neighborhood meeting, and they had some concerns about what the architect had laid out in terms of where the entrance was going to be. And then right at that same moment is when we got the ownership of the Red Cross, so we can change where the entrance was, change where the retention ponds would be. It got a little more involved once we got feedback from the neighborhood and then we're acquired that other piece of the land. So there'll be savings on the construction side to a degree, but they had to design it differently because the parking lot was going to be on the east side. Now it's right on White Street. And that made the neighbors happy.
I think you don't remember the cost of the total cost of the contract to them though, right?
I don't off the top of my head. Steve, you got any, you remember that?
I don't remember.
It's pretty easy to get, though. I can get that in. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the amount of work that you're doing it probably justifies the price. It's just.
Yeah, and it's a percentage, correct?
Yes.
So yeah, that stayed the same.
the percentage?
That the architect...
It's a percentage. There's a formula that the state uses for architect fees. It's a plug and play. You stick it in, so...
But if the construction's going down,
yeah, I know, you would think
percentage
that would, yeah,
had to go.
Well, I think although there's, well, probably we shouldn't say the construction's going down. A little less construction, but construction went up. The price went up from when we initially engaged them.
Yes.
To today, because this has been how many years in
two
the
two and a half years
of, yeah, you know, almost 3 years in the making.
Yeah, almost 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Motion to approve the raft.
Second.
Other questions or concerns? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
On to academics again.
Not be able to have a meeting without academics doing something, I'm sure, right? I'm very excited to share two items with you all today. So the first one is a major program revision that we're looking for approval for. This is to add HSC 1000, which is Introduction to Healthcare, as an option for our EMS program. What this would do is it would add this as an elective for students. Students currently enrolled in Volusia County Schools, if they are in the health academies, have the opportunity to take an anatomy and physiology class as well as an introduction to healthcare and one other course. But when they do that and combine that with an industry certification such as an EKG tech or as an EMT or as a nurse assistant, a CNA, then when they come to us, we're currently in our nursing assistant program, they are awarded credit for HSC 1000 as part of that program. And so what we are asking to do is to be able to do the same for our emergency medical services AS. So the students would be awarded this HSC 1000 course as a graduate of one of the health academies from Volusia County Schools, and with the earned certificate that they would have had coming out of that program as well. And then it would allow them to matriculate more quickly, if you will, through our EMS AS program. And so we're looking for approval to add HSC 1000 as an option for an elective in that AS program. So any?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Excellent, thank you. And then our second item that we have is our general education offerings. We're back again. We appreciated the approval back in October for us to make some curriculum revisions here. We received some feedback from the Division of Florida Colleges and a little bit of consultation with them to make sure that we would have everything statutorily compliant as we move forward to the State Board of Education meeting, where they will approve our general education curriculum offerings for 2025-26 academic year. So this is for the upcoming academic year. As you might recall, in state statute, we now also need board and presidential approval for our general education offerings. We have met with the curriculum committee and with the general education committee earlier this week, and we have modified our offerings in your board packet. We do have the adjustments that have been made from the groupings that you had previously approved. And so we're looking for approval from you for this new list that has been marginally modified based on feedback from the review that was done by the Department of Ed before we submit it to the articulating committee so it can go to the State Board of Education.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, thank you. Okay, Tom, constituent heads.
Alrighty. All right, we're going to lead off with our student government president, Natasha Powell. Who's been quite busy. I see her quite often on campus.
Yeah. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm excited to share what SGA has been up to the past couple of weeks. We've had a busy time, like Dr. Labasa said. Starting off on October 23rd, we had our first ever Falcon Fall Fest. And this was a very well attended. We had so much fun. Students had the opportunity to decorate pumpkins, craft wind chimes, and eat lots of good food, including funnel cakes, pumpkin pies, apple pies, all the good stuff. The barber program also participated, offering free haircuts to students.
Entrepreneurial mindset there.
They do. Next, on October 28th, we had again our first ever First Responders Day event. And we had so much fun celebrating our amazing first responders at the ATC campus. We handed out pizza, donuts, some fun swag and popcorn, and students also had the opportunity to design their own t-shirts and participate in a push-up competition. As I've mentioned before, the record was 49 push-ups in 30 seconds. So very impressive to witness that, and a very fun, well-attended event.
Was that Dr. Labasa?
Yeah. not even coming out of basic training was it that good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I was so impressed watching that.
Yeah.
That same day, we assisted the residence hall with their Halloween party, and we had so much fun dressing up, eating good food, and dancing the night away with our amazing residents. Then on October 29th, SGA participated in the Falcon Hope Center's annual Trunk or Treat, and we ended up taking home third place for our creative decorations, our fun candy selection, and most likely because of my dog, Cheeto. Then on October 30th, we celebrated our Hispanic Heritage Day, and students had so much fun learning about Hispanic culture, celebrating it, playing trivia. We also had a special guest performance from our very own Falcon Dance Club. So again, a very well-attended event. We had so much fun learning and having fun together and eating good food. Then on November 6th, we hosted our Veterans Appreciation Day event. And again, had a wonderful time celebrating our veterans and handing out pizza, goodie bags, doing a fun raffle. And students also had the opportunity to write thank you notes to express gratitude to our veterans and the sacrifices that they have made for us. Then on November 8th, SGA had the wonderful opportunity to attend the State of Diabetes. We had a wonderful time learning from a lot of amazing guest speakers, and we also had the privilege of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Lohman, whose dedication to diabetes awareness was very inspiring and left an impression on our SGA members. And then on November 11th, SGA assisted with and attended the Veterans Day. And again, it was truly inspiring, honoring our veterans and the sacrifices they've made for our great country. And lastly, some fun, exciting events that are coming up. We have our International Cultural Festival, which actually just happened today. We had so much fun taking students around the world in our very own backyard and celebrating the diverse and unique cultures that many of our students bring to our school. Then next week, Wednesday, on November 20th, we have our Native American Day. And following that, to finish out the semester, we have our winter celebration on December 4th. And this event will feature a tree lighting ceremony, a ping pong tournament, and plenty of good food and good times. So that is what we have coming up. Excited to finish out the semester. It's been a great one so far. That is all I have today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. In the Army, we get 2 minutes to do push-ups. And I think my best was somewhere in the low 70s in 2 minutes. So 49 in a minute is...
30 seconds.
30 seconds is burning it. Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine that. But anyway.
Couldn't do that if I was hooked to a machine.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Anaris Inman for Admin Council.
He's not here, but
okay, April.
The Admin Council participated last month in the Trunk or Treat event, and that was a great turnout for everyone. And they also met this week to discuss the annual holiday card signing to distribute to the Volusia County Council on Aging. Last year, they signed nearly 500 cards, and they anticipate doing about the same this year to bring holiday cheer to an overlooked population. And the council will meet again in February with updates for the months of December and January.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Ellie Baker for John Penny for career employees.
I brought a show and tell. I'll pick it up again.
People won't mind if you forget it.
Yeah, that's right. They won't. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm here because John was not available. I am the secretary of the CEA and the lead on the fundraising committee. And that's really the only thing I have to report is on the fundraising committee. So we have two major events. The first one is our basket raffle, which is happening right now. And you can see the baskets up there. We did 8 baskets, and there was about 8 staff who contributed their own money to buy everything in these baskets. And we had a lot of fun putting them together. And see them all, and they are very nice baskets. And what we do is we sell raffle tickets for them. So the tickets are $1 each, or 5 for $6. And right now our ticket sales are at over 400, so it's only been a week and a half. And last year we raised a total of 419. So our goal this year is to raise 500. I'm actually hoping for like 700. So we have 2.5 weeks to go. And ticket sales are going well. The tickets are available to be sold until December 3rd. The draw will be held at the CEA meeting on December 5th. And I do have tickets for sale here, if anybody wants to buy them after the meeting. I brought a sample of one of our baskets, just because sometimes it's always easier to see them. And this one, the only reason I brought this one, it was the lightest. I mean, they're big. There's one that's huge. The one that Cindy Summers did from Flagler, it is massive, and it's worth over $500. So we really have some great stuff for people to contribute. And the money from this raffle goes directly back to the students in a monetary student award through the foundation, which is great. So it's all for the students. And I will say, I've been here for a year now, and in my orientation, the only thing I remember, the best thing I remember is being here, it's all about the students. And I thought about that with the presentation yesterday about what's your goal, and I thought, to me, Daytona State's done a great job saying to the staff, it's all about the students. So we're very excited to sell as many tickets as we can. So if you'd like to buy any afterwards, we're happy to help out there. The second fundraising that we do is the chili cook-off, which will be in February. And the chili cook-off this year is going to be expanding because we're going to make it chili and soup with the hope to double the money that we get in. And again, that money is raised for the students and goes right back to them. So,
great. Thank you so much.
All right. And Faculty Senate, we have Paul Capps.
Good afternoon. Faculty Senate met last week. We had a unanimous support for a retired faculty member to hopefully achieve the status of faculty emeritus. Dr. Long, I will get you that name and supporting documentation later tonight or tomorrow, no later than tomorrow. We also passed a motion with regard to the procedures for dealing with academic integrity violations. We've started the process of presenting that to senior staff. The start got off a little rocky, and that's 100% my fault. Quick moment to apologize to senior staff if I've caused any consternation. I sent forward a motion without any of the supporting documentation or the rationale or justification for it. Dr. Cullen and one or more members of the faculty who put together that motion will be meeting with Dr. Long next week. And I'm 100% confident that all questions and concerns will be addressed and that everybody's going to hammer something out that will be a net positive for everyone concerned, because that's how we do things here at ESC. Great day to be a Falcon. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
And April, I would have had you take care of both while you're up there. Just didn't read further on down.
Dual hatted today.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So professional counsel is still kind of in flux as we kind of combine the areas. But I wanted to bring up something that's happening next week. It's Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. And the Falcon Hope Center is hosting a cook-off challenge, and it's open to staff and students, and they have to make dishes out of pantry items with a certain budget in mind, so a low amount budget, and all of these dishes will be featured in a cookbook that will benefit the students, and this will be on November 20th from 2 to 3 p.m., and I will be a judge, so mm-hmm. I'm supporting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ellie, do you need any judge volunteers for the chili cook-off? Trustees, it might be, especially some that have retired or been retired or recently retired. There could be an opening there for chili judge. I've not judged before, but I partake in the tasting, and it's quite good. So that concludes constituent reports.
Good, thank you. Well, another great meeting. Just always thanks to everybody that makes this happen. Great financial reports, which doesn't happen without a lot of people, not just in Marty's area, but the people out in all the departments and doing the work. A lot of facility projects going on, making the campuses look nice and keeping them up to date. Always some academic things to look at, and appreciate all that you do to keep our programs and courses relevant. I love the workshop today. That was exciting. Great information, and it was neat to hear from the students, as it always is. So thanks for continuing to bring the students. Kudos to the soccer team. We'll keep an eye out for them and hope they do well. And I just wanted to shout out again about the nursing pass rate. Every time I think about that and the improvement off what already was an amazing rate last go around. So kudos to everybody involved in that.
Thank you.
And with that, Bob?
Great. First of all, I think happy Veterans Day to not only those veterans that serve on this Board of Trustees, but to all that are affiliated with Daytona State College. It was a big day on Monday, and we shouldn't forget about it and move on from Monday without acknowledging the commitment and sacrifice and everything that was offered by our veterans. So good on you. The next thing is, it struck me with that homeless number. The definition changed, whatever, but how do we make sure that number is a cipher, is zero? How do we bring that to our population here at Daytona State College? We talk about the students and the unimaginable burdens that puts on a student's educational aspirations when they don't know where they're going to sleep that night. I know this college does more than probably most in addressing that issue. You can't boil the ocean, you can't solve it for the entire nation, but what do we do for our college, for this community, to make sure that we drive that number to zero? I think that should be a goal for us over the coming years.
If I could comment on, no, I agree. I think, working with our partners to help with the cause, but as part of Fru Husseini's legacy, we had created a 10-step plan to address homelessness that is still active. I still meet with the team that was assembled back then to get updates. And that isn't really addressing the cause, but it's providing the support to help them while they're a student. So we have the plan has everything from, you know, food to bus passes to temporary stays at a hotel in a case of emergency to we had worked with Halifax and Advent for you if they need a, you know, a quick checkup kind of thing. So it's a pretty comprehensive plan to support them while they're a student. That's dealing with the symptom, not the although the support in a way does help the reverse where they are, so by the time they finish with us,
right,
they can get out of that situation with a degree in hand. So we recognize that without the support, you know, too many of the students that came that were homeless would eventually quit, and we're trying to prevent that part,
right,
so that they can finish and then, you know, be contributing, you know, members and be able to support themselves and their families.
Great, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Marty, that's one mistake. Okay. Getting compounded by calling me out. You know, actually, I say that obviously joking, but it's easy to remember the numbers that you present because they're so clear and so concise and so well done that you know, I feel like it's just easy to follow what you do. So it's not a trick, and I don't make copious notes, but it's just you do such a good job. It's easy to see and remember the information that you provide. So well done. And you know, I feel like I get more out of being on the board than I give to the board. The professionalism of here is incredible, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm a little less distracted these days than I was, the last 19 months. So glad to be fully engaged again. Thank you, and go Falcons.
Well said, Randy. I'm getting back to the female soccer team that both the president and I was sitting up there watching. And that final game when they won, that was on a Sunday. On a Friday I was there, and they had qualified to go to the championship. And I don't know if my body could take it or not, but I said I was coming. And I did. And it was not close. It was close in the beginning. First we got 2-0, and President the boss and myself were saying, score some more, score some more, score some more. And they did it, 6-0.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing, yeah, that several years ago we didn't know that we would have a soccer team, both men and women, and we have them and they're champions.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I noticed, you know, I had scheduled for the men's basketball, mm-hmm, and I see it's starting tomorrow night. However, Flagler Palm Coast High School, they're in the playoffs in football. They're 9-1. Tomorrow evening they play
Spruce Creek
to continue, yeah, their streak. They have to win to continue moving up to see if they can get to the state championship. So unfortunately I can't split myself, so I'll be watching that. But I see Saturday that we have a game at 2:00, so I should be fully awake by then. I hope to be here for that because it keeps my blood pressure down, but it keeps my blood flowing when I come to these games. So, and to all the folks that are here, the job that you do is just, you know, I've been on this board for almost 13 years, and every month it gets better and better. Every year, there's no tenseness. We're relaxed, we enjoy each other, and we get the job done based on what you give us. And it's always a pleasure to go through the board packet and talk to you or whatever and find out that things are going well. But not only you, but the rest of your staff and the whole of this college, I do appreciate them, and I look forward to
being here for a little while longer and having a good time. So thank you.
You know, the I'm going to comment on this, the women's soccer team. We've placed some, you know, last year we had, we have a young lady that's at the University of Arkansas, which is one of the top 10 Division I programs in the country. This year, there's been a lot of noise, and our bleachers have been the head coach from UF, Duke, FSU. So they are garnering a lot of attention, this particular team. So they are exciting to watch. So we'll see what happens. You know, part of just hanging, you know, the ones that are freshmen, we're like, you know, we're telling those coaches, don't talk to them until next year. But it's certainly, and thanks for being a loyal fan. Yeah, Wade and I are up there in the boxes, and you'll probably hear me blurt out things from time to time, you know, that you might not hear me say in a board meeting, but it's coming all from a good place of heart and support. But thanks, Lloyd, for you know, coming to those events. The team really enjoys seeing you there.
Well, in between meetings, I got the chance to talk to Teresa Rand, and she said, this is no ordinary college. And I thought, well, how well does that sum up kind of everything we experience every time we're here? The substantive work of the board, and of course, great. Natasha, I am concerned you're never in class. But I think you've got a good balance going on. But I mean, just so many wonderful events. As a student, too, what a nice job. Kristen, I don't know if we talked about it before, but Boots and Bling was incredible, especially being in charge. So nice job there. And Cheryl, you are a beast. You said the presentation today was so well orchestrated. Certainly the presentation was great, but then the way you have engaged, was it 3,600 students, all those faculties across all the different areas of the college, just a beautiful, beautiful job. So thank you for doing all of that. And go Falcons.
Well, some of mine will be repetitive, but just want to echo Bob, your comments about Veterans Day and thanking all of our veterans throughout this country and here locally as well for their service. And one of those was my father and another was my son. So I was the person that didn't do what he should have done. But the other thing too is the great job by the finance team. I just want to echo those as well, because you know, sitting on the housing corp board, and then you think about the college, and then you think about the foundation, and all those things fall under one department, and they manage it so well. So Marty, kudos to you and your team. And the entrepreneurial presentation, also phenomenal. I learned a lot today, in that I just see some opportunities for us too, like with our chamber, you know, in Palm Coast and Flagler County, that if I can help you with that connection, please, by all means, let me know, because I would love to see us more engaged, even if that could be possible, you know, with all that. And then finally, I just want to say that the other day I had an opportunity to have breakfast with two gentlemen that were customers of mine, and they call me when they come down from New York, and one is a surgeon in Long Island area, and the other was an investment banker, and he actually sits on the board of a mutual fund, and they always like to pick my brain about what's going on here locally, because they have business investments here. They own various shopping centers, and both in Palm Coast and Ormond Beach, and they said, well, what is going on? And I started talking to them about Daytona State and about Tom and about the team here. And just like you just said, you know, Randy, the school probably gives us more than we give back, you know, in terms of the enrichment that we get. And just sitting there and talking to them about what's going on at the school, and they were shocked. They had no idea about the nursing program or the bachelor's degree in accounting or business administration, and the way we've kept costs flat for tuition fees now for 14 years. and that included a 2% reduction and things of that nature. And you start just going down the list and you're checking off the boxes and you're just going, this is incredible. And for them, they view it as this helps their business investments because they know the return that comes as a result of that and what we provide here. So thank you, Tom. Thank you to everybody, the leadership team here, and all the staff at the college. I can tell you it's always a proud moment to be a Falcon, and go Falcons.
Hey, Randy, back at you.
Yes, I want to just make this comment. Different hat that I wear, and I think it was Tuesday night. We're recruiting businesses, and this one, I think, it's a marathon. Clearly, we've been doing this for a while. But one of the things that's very important to a lot of businesses that want to locate in this community is the accessibility of workforce and the ability to specifically train workforce to their individual needs. And you know, it's a tool that when I get to meet with some of these people, this is a 90 plus year old company from New York that's been in the same location for all but 2 years of that time. So this, you know, it's like it's going to take a nuclear blast to get them to move. But the nuclear blast is the ability to train workforce and put them to work, because they're not going to have the time to go out and find that. And it's a very precise, what they produce is very precise, and I will just say to you that it gives me a lot of confidence to be able to sit there and say, hey, we have the ability to be able to get you what you need, and this organization is a big part of that. It is a huge, Daytona State College is a huge economic development tool for our community. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that's something that, you know, as I continue on, it's become more and more evident that exact piece and the role we play in that. It, you know, recently with obviously with Embry Riddle, at the lead with that company that's going to be building the airplanes, but we played a pretty important role in their final decision to get here, to pick Daytona Beach. So I appreciate that, and I think that's something we need to tell that story even more, is our impact on economic development. So thank you for bringing that up. It's true. It's true. We develop so much of the talent that companies need in large numbers.
I tried wine first, and then we went back to workforce training, and that seemed to get there.
Well, we have the beverage science. You could have went to beer. So thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Oh, and before I forget too, I was thinking, Lloyd made me think of it. Last year we had a night where we invited you all. I'm going to invite some other other community members too. And if you're all in agreement, I'd like to do that again and even grow it a little bit to maybe do a doubleheader, basketball game, and also use that as an opportunity to invite your friends. As well.
But you all got up and left when I started cheering.
We're gonna have, there'll be a spot we'll put you in this time.
Well, I'll be in one spot. No, definitely, that's a great idea.
But I think it was good to enjoy each other's company in that environment, but to bring some friends at the college as well. Kelly, we won't bring the clackers for
We found some new electric.
We can't see each other in the car all the time.
Yeah, we'll get some battery operated ones so they won't. Right. we'll plan that again because I think that was really fun. Good, and we're going to try to invite some other community members, I think do the same, and a way to, some people don't realize that we have high level. I mean, we're a Division I junior college athletic program. And it attracts quite a bit of eyes across the country, and it's entertaining to watch, and some great kids too. So, did you have something back there, Neil?
No, sir. But thank you for asking. Oh, okay.
I thought maybe you were cheering about the game. So,
great. I get excited.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.